From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, recapping the Missouri caucus with Gary Wiegert, State Representative Jamie Gregg, and the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
Wow, wow, wow. I can't believe it, Joey. Here you are. You're wearing the vest. You've got the scarf. You've got the plaid shirt. And I came. I basically walked in here half naked. I feel like we've swapped. Not that you walk in here half naked, but I mean, you're like dressed as me today. And I was asking, do you have the bronzer on? But you don't look like you're wearing any bronzer.
No, I don't have the complete set yet. This is a tribute act. I go around acting as you, raising, hell and racking up bills.
That's right. Well, you got to grow the mullet out just a little bit, although it is a little messy on top like I like it. But you got to get the bronzer. The bronzer is like, you know, the piece de resistance. Is what you say it. You're the French guy.
Piece de resistance.
That is what it is. That
you know, TikTok, they love tutorials, makeup tutorials.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We could do a bronzer tutorial.
Can we?
You just do half my face so people can see what good it does, how ladies love it,
right.
Employers love it. It changes how people react to you when you bronze your face, at least half of it.
And I love the idea of just one side, because then we could get the press involved. They'd only photograph you on that one side, and then they'd call you a racist because they'd say you're doing blackface. Not that it's blackface. It's more like an orangish brown face.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd probably be offending the pumpkins.
It'd be an origin story, like Two-Face from Batman.
Origin?
Origin story.
Origin.
Two-Face, he fell in a little bit of acid,
and
then he became a bad guy. So I don't know how this is going to change my personality. Probably for the better. Make me more artistic, for sure.
Oh, people love it. People love it. They say, because you're always asked when you go out, have you been somewhere, or are you wearing bronzer? And I always say, I wear bronzer. I wear makeup just like my wife doesn't. Because I actually wear more makeup than my wife does, I think.
Do you have a secret to a happy relationship? You guys have been married a long time.
Oh, we have been.
And you have beautiful children.
Yes.
Something that I like in our relationship between me and my lady is that we have separate bathrooms and separate bedrooms. So we don't sleep next to each other, so no Jimmy legs, no kicking. And then bathrooms, you don't have to go in after them and smell something and say, ugh.
Oh, no, you don't want that. That's why she makes me go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she thinks that's much more convenient. And that's probably been like if I had to give you a tip on long-term relationships, just get used to going outside as far as the bathroom and things like that. Because I've gotten used to it, but I also kind of enjoy it. Because it gets me sympathy from the neighbors. And sometimes they invite me over. They say, you're out there pooping in your yard. Would you like to come over and maybe have a donut or something? And that's how I meet people. So that's what I would say. Go to the bathroom and I spend a lot of time out in the yard and just stay out of your wife's hair.
Now, your dumping shovel, the shovel that you use to dig your hole, do you keep that inside by the door in
what
a
hole?
Bucket? Well, you have to go dig a hole before you just go poop in the yard, right?
Oh, do you?
You should be digging a hole and then covering it up like the cat does.
Oh, I didn't know
Special
that.
Special Ed knows a little bit more about how to get rid of his waste than
Special Ed, I'm glad you brought him up, because guess what this month is? It's Special Ed's birthday month.
Does he know that?
I think so, because we're planning this big cat party. Yes. Cats love their cat parties.
Could you please not invite me to that? I'd like to RSVP no right now.
Well, there's going to be cat videos all over the social media that you follow. So, I mean, I don't think there's a way of avoiding it.
I know I've been to a dog birthday party, and I regretted that. And everyone brought cookies, but some of the cookies were for dogs, and some of the cookies were for humans, and they weren't labeled properly.
Oh, that's great. Have you ever tried, though? Have you tried a Milk-Bone dog biscuit? Because I have.
I have, yeah.
They're really not
and
that
milk,
bad.
It's a little better.
I have to tell you a true story about a Milk-Bone dog biscuit. Do you know Whole Foods, like that overpriced place that all the the yuppie people go, like they think they're eating organic, because I think they are. But I bought, get this, this is a true story, because I'm like Joe Biden. It's not a joke.
Come on, man.
They sell
donuts at Whole Foods.
What do you mean?
Shrinkflation, cookie monster.
Okay, go back to your hole there, Joe. Not that hole. That's the one I'm going to poop in. Anyway, at Whole Foods, they had these pretzels. And I thought, I was just in a jam, and I love my pretzels. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I do. And so I bought some Whole Food pretzels. I had to cash in my IRA. Okay, but I got the pretzels, and I took a bite. I bet you these are going to be wonderful because they're so overpriced and organic. Okay. So I take a bite into it. it tasted like dirt. And so it was so bad. It was like eating wood. And you know what I did? It was so ironic because like a week later, I had an opportunity to try a Milk-Bone dog biscuit. I'm not going to tell you where I was or whose house
I was. You were being a good boy.
I may have been at a neighbor that was letting me use their bathroom because they didn't like the fact that I was in my backyard and they had a dog, okay? But to make a long story short, but which I'm not doing, I tried the Milk-Bone dog biscuit, and I'm going to give you the result of my taste test. Mm-hmm. The Milk-Bone dog biscuit was better, much better, than the whole food pretzel.
Now, Showalter, that's got to be a German. That's got to be a German name, right?
What are you talking about, Jay?
I mean, Germans know pretzels, and you know that was a bad pretzel.
Oh, that's Bavarian. Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. Now, I'm actually, my family stems or grows or whatever you want to call it, is from Austria, where Arnold is from. Now, I didn't
know. He's a good neighbor.
I know. If he were a neighbor, he probably would let me use his bathroom, too. But this is much further away than where Austria is, because that's like across an ocean or something like that. But I mean, yeah, but no, it's Austria. So I don't know.
You ever see that movie Pumping Iron with Arnold?
Oh, yeah, I do.
The documentary.
Well, can't you tell?
Look at me. He said that the reason he works out so much is because he has sexual feelings when he works out.
Oh, yes.
And I was hoping that would be true for all people from Austria. Clearly, that's not true.
It was a one-off thing. You don't realize that? No, seriously. I used to go to this gym. It was like a Planet something, and they had free Tootsie Rolls. That's the only reason I went to this place, because any gym that would give out Tootsie Rolls, mm-hmm. I thought that was, oh, this is my kind of gym. I'm going to have a great time. But I would do my bench press, and I'd put the weights on, and I thought, oh, this is much too heavy. So I can bench. I don't know if you know, I can bench about 20 pounds. All right. And so, but I would start having sexual feelings when I was bench pressing. And what I like to do is let everybody know that I'm having sexual feelings while I'm bench pressing 20 pounds. So I go on the bar. That was the sound effect. And then I push it up and I go, oh yeah, baby, this is great. And then everybody would look around and next thing you know, they were asking me to go out in the yard and use the bathroom.
Oh, good. You didn't get a single spotter for some reason. I don't know why they were avoiding. Force field.
I didn't. And you know what? I didn't even wipe down, you're supposed to like use your towel and wipe down the bench, I didn't do it. I grabbed not one, but two Tootsie Rolls, which also tasted much better than a Whole Foods pretzel, and I went home.
Took a pocketful of Tootsie Rolls, dropped them off at the dentist's office, because they're both trying to do the same thing. Get repeat customers. Just have Tootsie Rolls in a bowl. You're good. We have them at the radio station. That's why you keep coming back.
I know. And I grabbed one, and somebody, I'm not going to mention names, Jeff, said, don't grab those. What do you think this is? Planet Fitness?
I like a good Tootsie Roll bake. That's where you put them in your pocket for a little bit, get them warmed up. When they're just room temperature, that's a bad Tootsie Roll. Microwave them for 9 seconds with the wrapper on. It's beautiful.
Speaking of Tootsie Rolls.
Piece de resistance.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to say what the Tootsie Roll story reminds me.
Tootsie Roll tips on TikTok with Todd.
Yeah, did I tell you about the gym I started? Now, this is a true story.
This is still GYM, gymnasium, right?
Okay. I had an idea. And it's one of my brilliant ideas that never went. I have a lot of brilliant ideas that turn out just not to be very brilliant. And then I learned that the hard way.
At least you don't write them down, the bad ones. So you have the idea and they just go away, right? And
I don't know. Sometimes it depends. No, I actually do write them down.
You followed through with this one.
And then I run to the computer and you know what I do? I buy the domain.
I buy the domain.
Right? It can be the stupidest thing in the world, but I buy the domain. And so I wonder if buythedomain.com is available.
It's got
to
be.
I'll have to check that. Okay. Well, we'll see about it as soon as we go to break. But here's what I was sick of all the ads right after the holidays. If you notice right after the holidays, you go right from eating cookies and all that stuff to you got to lose weight, you're fat, whatever. And so they have all the gym ads, get in shape. And they have a place, have you ever heard of Club Fitness?
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's one that closed down by my house and now it's just empty. And I think, well, that'd be a good place to put a gym.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's empty. There's nothing in there. Or a dog park.
Well, and I was thinking, everybody's this Club Fitness stuff. What about the people that just enjoy being fat after the holidays? So I got the domain, all right, Chub Fitness, chubfitness.com. And I started selling, you know, like, donut recipes and things like that. And I got a T-shirt, and it is there, you know, chubfitness.com. Maybe they'll sponsor the show. Wait, that's me. I don't know. We'll try.
I came up with a Photoshopped idea similar to that. I didn't make a website, but I just Photoshopped this as a fake ad. Cold's Gym. Mm-hmm. It was cold, instead of Gold's, Cold's Gym. And we just sold winter clothing to cover up the fat. And it was little shirts that say Cold's Gym on it and stuff. And you just wear that instead of working out.
So wait a minute. So you're the owner of Cold's Gym. I'm the giant entrepreneur that started Chubb Fitness. We should join forces.
I think we could sell a lot of merch and make people a lot fatter.
And we call it coldchubbies.com. Mm-hmm. Coldchubbies.com. I like that.
A little shrinkage never hurt anyone at Cold Chubbies.
No, it didn't. It's all in how you use it. That's right. Which is reminding me, whenever I did work out, though, it was in like Arnold, though. I never really got super erotic thoughts. Did he get thoughts or did he have makes? What exactly?
Completion. Oh. Workout to completion.
I think that's what he said in the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't think I saw that. I saw some documentary. Speaking of, celebrities and stuff, didn't you? You were talking about earlier off the air about some celebrity encounters or something.
There's always interesting stories that come with meeting a celebrity, whether you get too nervous and you say the stupidest things to them or you really nail it. You say the funniest thing, you get them laughing.
It
becomes a story for you for the rest of your life, and then they never think about you again for another second.
That is true. Now, did you run into a celebrity recently? Why did this come up?
I was just thinking in the shower, because I'm always thinking of you in the shower. Different topics we could talk about on the show.
That's when I'm pumping iron.
You were in Hollywood for a long time.
Yeah.
And it turns out we both have met celebrities in video stores. I worked at the Blockbuster in Hazelwood, Old Village Square.
Okay.
And it turns out that one of the biggest wrestlers in the world, WWE superstar Randy Orton.
Okay.
He lived down the street, and this was the early 2000s, and he rented The Sopranos. And it takes a while because that's a TV show. Mm-hmm. So you got to get through all the episodes. And he's on tour 364 days a year. Turns out that he had broken his femur off or something like that, and he came in on crutches with his copy of The Sopranos season 2, disc 7 or whatever. And it was 2 months late.
Get out of here.
It had $25 in late fees.
No. Did he rewind it?
He did rewind the DVD. It was in perfect beginning of the show condition.
Wow.
And he was clearly on crutches, and he said, come on, man. I got hurt.
Come on, man.
I couldn't make it in. Is there any way you can take off the late fee? And I said, yeah, that's no problem. Obviously, you're hurt. It didn't even matter that he was a celebrity.
So
I took off the $25. Turns out, I was off work a week later, and he came in with tickets to the big wrestling pay-per-view that was in town.
No.
Nobody called me. No one checked to see if I was around.
Really?
They just said, nope, he's not working today. And then the next day I come in, they tell me, Randy Orton had tickets for you. We didn't call you and didn't think you should go because you took $25 off of his late fee.
Oh, get out and look what happened.
I got in trouble.
You did not.
I got in trouble. The manager on duty, the MOD, she yelled at me.
He's doing a duty?
Yelled at me for taking the $25, because at Blockbuster, you're supposed to haggle back then.
Right.
You're supposed to say, I can do half. None of this mattered. It was made up money anyway. A late fee? What is that?
What is that?
$3.99 a day?
I don't think so.
So she got mad at me. I said, this guy's a millionaire and he's going to want to come back and spend more money with us. I think we're going to make more money in the long run. And then I thought, he's a millionaire. Why is he at Blockbuster? Why can't he just buy Sopranos DVDs himself? But it was the early 2000s. People were renting movies back then.
Well, look what happened.
I know. He didn't have any tattoos back then, and now he's just covered in them, and he's the biggest superstar in the world, and he'll never remember me. But that meant a lot to me that he wanted to give me tickets to a pay-per-view.
I think even more, I think you're the reason. When you say what reason, you're the reason that Blockbuster went out of business.
Well, eventually, a few years later, they got rid of late fees altogether, and I think that helped. And then also, they tried to team up with Netflix.
Yeah.
And Blockbuster said, no, we'll be better than you, Netflix. Screw off. And then Netflix is the biggest company in the world, and Blockbuster is finito. There's one in Alaska, I think, and that's it.
Wow, in Alaska. Wow, if you have a movie from Alaska, that'd be hard to return that, especially if you lived here.
I don't want to talk about Netflix. I want to talk about more important things.
Yes,
you worked at a video store.
Yes.
And you met Dudley Moore. Is that what you did?
Oh, I did. did.
You sold him a dirty movie?
Okay.
Or is it Demi Moore?
That's Demi
Moore. You were watching Striptease.
It could have been Demi Moore or Dudley Moore. It was like one of the two. I get them mixed up.
The one with the haircut.
Yeah, the with the haircut. No, I was at, this is a true story. It's true. Like just like Joe. It was right up from the Warner Brothers lot. Okay, and it was like in a, I can't even remember the name of the store. It was like a private store or something, but it was right up the, and so a lot of people would come in to rent movies, which I always found strange because you're working on the lot, you know, couldn't they just like give you like a copy of whatever it was? But no, they would actually come in and rent movies, which was kind of stupid. It shows you celebrities aren't that bright. And one day, true story, Dudley Moore, in fact, he was a regular customer. He came in and they, back then, you could rent these, well, they were kind of like dirty movies. Can you hear that on the air?
Why do they make the curtains so loud when you're secretly going back there?
Were you in my store? That is what they had. They had like, it was like a little booth with like a curtain. And you open the curtain and you go back. And that's where the dirty movies were. And Dudley Moore, okay, Arthur. I hate it when that happens. That was him. I was doing like an imitation of him. People don't even know who that is. That's an old movie.
Most hilarious alcoholic we ever had, really.
You couldn't do that movie now. It'd be like, oh, people would be protesting. No, he's a drunk. But anyway, Dudley Moore, he would go behind the curtain and rent these dirty movies. And sometimes he'd be back there for like, you know, hours. And I'd say, there's nothing to watch it back with. You got to watch it on a television. But yeah, that was an interesting video store story with Dudley Moore. All kinds of people would come in there. It was like Ron Howard's mother used to come in all the time. She was another frequent person. She wasn't a celebrity, though, but she had great baking tips. You know, she knew how to make a casserole and things like that we talk about.
Did she have red hair also, or was she bald?
Nope. As far as I remember, she was bald.
Completely bald. Yep.
She got his hair from his mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was back there reading the plots of the dirty movies. Oh, this one seems good. Oh, yeah. I'll try that one at home.
Is Ron in this one? I think he is, Miss Howard. I think he's in. Oh, what is that called? It's called Happier Ending Days or something like that.
A beautiful mind, a beautiful behind.
A beautiful behind.
I know we were both going for the pun on a Ron Howard movie, but it was hard to think of one.
In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background just smirking at us in an evil way. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Gary Wiegert explains why he thinks the Missouri caucus was a scam. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man whose wife makes him put a dollar in the swear jar every time he mentions the size of his caucus, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. Mitch in the background, still smirking at us and on the line now. Let me preface this. Last week or so, I was at the Trump caucus, okay, that our buddy Gary Wiegert put together. He's on the line with us now to tell us what all happened. But according to Gary, and I got to tell you, I saw some kind of questionable things myself. It was a scam. Gary, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm having a better week than last week, huh?
Okay. Now, you were a busy guy. I mean, I felt bad because I was going to say hi to you, but you were running around taking care of business. If anybody needs a caucus put together, they should call you because you really had everything going. Now, you said there were some shenanigans going on, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Why don't you explain it?
Well, I knew right from the get-go that they were going to try to disqualify everything I did. The minute I walked in the place, they told me I couldn't lobby inside the caucus grounds, which is the whole job of a caucus is to lobby for your candidate. That's what it is.
Right.
But they told me I had to go outside. I told them no, I wasn't going to comply. And I got a number of arguments with some of the people there. I knew we had problems when I submitted my slate, and they had one poor woman looking up to see if people were registered voters on my slate. And there's 150 names on there. That's a lot of names to look up.
Right.
And so about 15 minutes before, the girl comes up to me and says, "Hey, you've got 50 people on your slate who aren't registered to vote." And I was like, "Well, that's impossible." And she showed me a half the names. And I went through and I was like, "Oh my gosh, these people are in the building," because, you know, it took what? They didn't get done bringing people until after noon.
Oh, it was packed. I couldn't believe it. I got to tell you, when I showed up, I thought, well, you know, driving out there, I thought, okay, it's going to be, I used to go to my son's wrestling matches, you know, and it'd be a pretty decent crowd. I showed up. It was just, unbelievable how many people were there.
People wanted to participate in this.
Yeah.
And the line wrapped around the building, and there was only a couple people with some kind of voter registration. The Republican Party was not prepared. Renee and her St. Louis County cohorts were not prepared.
Wow.
And so there was just a number of people that were signing folks up, so it took hours. And then this poor, I won't mention her name here. I can't do that. But so she's struggling getting names, and I had to go chase people down in the building. That's what you saw me running around saying,
yeah,
hey, come here and tell her you're a registered voter. And so I had a lot of them do it. I'll tell you who was one. Well, she told me Peter Pfeiffer was not a registered voter. Now, Pfeiffer has already filed to run against Ann Wagner.
Right.
So I don't, you know, I don't like to be a conspiracy person, but I mean, what are the odds that the person running against Ann Wagner is told that he cannot participate because he's not a registered voter?
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
And talk about somebody that met with a lot of boos and not very welcome. That was Ann Wagner, who, by the way, I mean, she was just in and out. She was like, oh, I got a funeral or something I got to go to, and you know, whatever. But I mean, here's like go ahead.
I couldn't hear what she said because the boos were so loud. But later on, someone told me that she had had to go to a funeral?
Yeah, a funeral or something. You know, and she was in and out. And you could tell, I mean, she didn't look like she wanted to be there. And, you know, again, the crowd made it very, very obvious what they thought of her. And, I mean, I don't think she could have gotten out any quicker unless she was on a rocket or something like that. So
they booed her off the stage, really. And then I heard it was I don't know who gets buried on a Saturday morning like that, but whatever.
Yeah.
And I'd get out of there too if I was getting booed like that.
Oh, yeah. So, you're talking about Peter Pfeiffer now. He's there, and they were saying that he wasn't registered to vote along with other people. Because, I mean, and when they announced, and they had a lot of other things going on too, I'll let you discuss.
You go ahead and say, what did you hear when they threw out my slate?
Well, they would say basically that you had like 135, and it was you didn't have enough on your slate, and you obviously did have enough on your slate, but they said no, you don't have enough people on it, and so you're immediately disqualified. And
I didn't even get to debate it and argue. It's like, wait a second, these are voters
right now,
and yeah, it was terrible. So then later on, I found out like two of the names was Dr. Cusimano, who was on my slate, and I spelt his last name with two A's instead of one, so they threw him off.
Yeah.
They said he wasn't a registered voter. And then I had another gal, Stephanie, I spelt her name with a Y instead of the IE, and they threw her off. I had to go get her and bring her down, and they put her back on, but by then it was too late.
Yeah.
And so we're currently compiling all the names, and we are going to release the names of all these people that they said was not registered to vote. And every one of them is going to be a voter. I guarantee it.
Well, of course. Why would you show up if you weren't? Huh. Unbelievable. No, it was really chaotic. It was a lot of mayhem going on. Now, the good guy, Donald Trump, he won, of course, but that was expected. But you had these other people that are involved with the slates, and that's not the case. I mean, because, you know, there's only, certain groups or slates rather that are going to qualify. So when all is said and done now, as of right now, where do things stand when everything, you know, kind of like evened out? Where are we at?
Yes. Yeah, so I had to do a compromise, and this is something most people don't either. So I had a woman who had come up to me and said that they improperly put her name on the other slate. She saw when they handed it out, her name was on there, and she wanted her name off the slate. So I had told her that when I was going around earlier, she was very upset about this. And I said, well, hold on. They're going to pull a fast one on me. I know it. I know how these people cheat and lie. That's our GOP for us. And so when my slate got thrown off, I made a point of order with Tim Jones. And I said, hey, I have a woman here who wants her name off the slate. So Tim Jones, thankfully Tim did this. He threw their slate off too.
Yeah.
So both our slates got disqualified. I mean, it makes no difference if it's whatever their made up number was that I didn't have. Both of them got disqualified. So there were no slates, and then we had to negotiate.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tim. I mean, Tim, you know, from the station here, he was appointed, elected, how you the chairman of the thing. And Joey and I were talking, and Tim was upset about the whole situation as well. And he was the chairman.
Yes, and I thankfully Tim was there. They pulled a scam on me and threw my slate out, but I got their slate thrown out, so at least I was on equal footing.
Right.
And then so they put their slate out. I put my slate out. We negotiated our slates. I was basically forced into it. I received of the 75, I got 38 delegates. Their slate got 37 delegates.
Okay.
And then we alternated. Each alternate was one of theirs, one of ours, one of theirs, one of ours. And that went back and forth. And so at least we have some representation from the grassroots, because their slate is nothing but the elected officials. I mean, this has never been done by our elected officials before. These things are usually thrown by the grassroots,
right,
on a smaller scale. This was a bigger scale because this time we were voting for the president in the caucus, much like Iowa.
Right, and what we're looking at here that's causing the problems is that, you know, there, when you say there's shenanigans involved, I mean, they basically want to keep the rhinos in, correct? I mean, so
yeah.
And so when you oppress that, or you try to counter that with your own group, grassroots, in this situation, some questionable things happen. Well, now moving ahead, okay, now you said 38 delegates. Now I'm actually one of these delegates. So when we move forward, I believe it's, April 6th is the next one?
Yes, okay. That's the date.
Okay, so what do we have to look forward to now, and what are we going to do to make sure that the same type of thing doesn't happen again?
So now they can't pull that scam that people aren't registered or not, or their name is spelled. You know, that thing about spelling the names wrong, that is so despicable.
Yeah.
That is despicable. I put 4 months of effort putting the slate in. You know how much work my cohorts did to put this slate together? And 150 names, getting all that information is not easy. And for Renee and her team to throw us out like that, that is so blatantly wrong.
Sure.
So what we're going to do, so they can't do that in the future, because everyone now is a registered voter. And now we will show up with a split team. We are going to show up with 5 people from Warren County, 20 from Franklin County, and I think 17 or 18 from St. Charles. And then you'll have the political people on Renee's slate, all the politicians. And then you will have our 38 grassroots people, you know, us, people like me and you.
Right. On that team. Okay.
And so now we are going to come up with our own slate of people. We're going to send 3 delegates and 3 alternates to the convention in Milwaukee.
Okay.
On April 6th. We're going to also vote for someone for the Electoral College.
Okay.
And we're going to vote for a chairman first, and then we're going to vote for a recording secretary. And then after that, we're going to vote for different amendments to send that to the state of Missouri to say, hey, this is the issues we want you to promote.
Gotcha.
So that's what you're going to look forward to.
Great. And that's all going to be on the up and up. Bringing it back to the GOP, though, don't you think, and again, this is just, opinion, this seems to be the problem the GOP has in general. It's all this infighting. And as much as you don't like the Democrats, I know I'm not a fan. I mean, even though a lot of the stuff they do is borderline evil, they all stick together. I mean, you got the GOP all having this infighting like a crazy family or something. Everybody's like, why aren't we doing a primary? And then, this is what we're dealing with. So you just got to, suck it up and here we're going to go. But I mean, a lot of people, are like, well, it was confusing. They didn't understand why we weren't doing it the way that, people wanted. But it's obvious it's easier to manipulate something in this type of situation, this type of the way this is put together. And that's just wrong. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to be done. And again, you're not going to beat the big team, the Democrat, if you're not a team to begin with. You're fighting with yourselves. And that looks like what we have right now. Well, my friend, it's going to do it for this episode, but I can't wait to have you back on before April 6th. Anything else you want to throw at us before you,
No, that's
cool
good.
Off?
I just say it's Renee Artman and GOP's game, we're just allowed to play in it. Unfortunately, they get two dice and we only get one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a shame, and I don't know. Like I say to everybody else, at least you're out there fighting the good fight. You did a great job on this caucus, even though you had some things stacked against you. And I think the good guys are going to win in the end. Spoiler alert.
I think so. Okay. I look forward to seeing you in April.
I'll be there. Oh, by the way, though, I told you they have my name spelled wrong. It's got the C in there. So we got to make
is
sure.
Is it really? Did I spell your name wrong and you still got through?
I think I was okay on that one because I actually did it online. But on the, when they showed who the delegates are for April 6th, they left the C out. And the C is always, you know, it feels like the overlooked stepchild. So, you know, we got to throw
this. Hey, those German names are a little difficult.
Oh, that's what Joey and I were talking about. But I'll look forward to seeing you and I look forward to talking to you about it beforehand. Okay, my friend?
You bet. Good
right.
chatting with you.
You too, my friend. That's Gary Wiegert there, and I tell you what, he put on a great caucus. He was flying around like you ever been to like to a restaurant, and you see all this bustle and stuff, and you see the chef running around trying to take care of stuff. But, yeah, and that was Gary. I mean, he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Free breadsticks, too? He was offering a little bit of the
Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. Olive, or is that Olive Branch? I was so confused last week. Yeah.
I want to make sure we don't get sued by Ann Wagner, because you kept saying that there were a lot of booze involved with her, and yeah. I wanted to clarify that you're talking about the opposite of cheers.
Opposite.
Wait, no, that sounds like alcohol also.
Oh.
People were not cheering her, they were booing her.
Oh, you mean
she,
like
she was
booze.
Not an alcoholic like Dudley
oh,
Moore.
Oh, like booze, like in B-O-O-Z-E.
Uh-huh, that's
oh,
what it sounded like.
I think
you
I
wouldn't
see.
Believe the booze that were around Ann Wagner.
Well, you and I don't drink, you know, so they know what we meant, okay? We meant like booze like the ghost, like woo.
We don't drink anything except tea, as in teetotalers. We're a couple of teetotalers.
Oh, not a tree, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Gary Wiegert.
Almost good. Thank you, Gary. That was a lot of fun. Well, we got more coming up when we come back. If we are back, we should be. I don't think the FCC or somebody else has pulled this yet. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my good buddy, Joey B. Mitch is licking. What is he?
He's licking his lips.
I don't know.
Like,
what is. Wait a minute. Hang on. We can't. What is he? What is he doing?
He's got barbecue tongs and the little spatula, and he's just sharpening knives.
And he doesn't have a shirt on again. He's got this evil grin.
We were talking bronzer earlier. I think he's just got barbecue sauce
I don't know,
all
but
over
he's,
his body.
What, play your. Hang on. Just play your instrument. No, don't play that instrument. The other instrument. No, you're scaring us. Anyway, we'll be back. This is the Right Mind Show. Stay tuned. Bye bye.
Coming up next on the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Representative Jamie Gragg talks about his plan to stop teachers from keeping secrets from parents. Welcome back to the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who once got fired from his job as a custodian due to his potty mouth, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey B. Mitch doing his Mitch thing in the back. In the meantime, our favorite representative from Missouri is on. He's a Republican, Jamie Gragg. And the reason I say that, Jamie, first of all, how are you? Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, doing very well. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we actually extended the Olive Branch, which they have free breadsticks. No, it's Olive Garden. To a Democrat last week, and she blew us off.
Oh, no.
Gretchen Bangard. Yeah, we were going to have her come on and talk about this bill that she's got to you can't get your car fixed unless your tags are taken care of. And she said that you guys were having Lunchables, and she was too busy putting that together. So I knew that I could count on you this week. So thank you.
I am always there. I appreciate you having me on there. I really do.
No, I really appreciate you coming on. And also, you mentioned just now that you got a lot of good stuff to talk about. Why don't you just dive in? What's happening in
Well, you know, we're talking about some really good stuff. In fact, just today we talked about tax cuts for veterans and things of that nature. So lots of good stuff going on up here. But more than anything, I've been hearing a lot about a bill that I filed last week. And that was pertaining to our parents and our children in schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big disconnect going on right now. I go around the state and I talk to parents because I'm huge into the family unit, because I believe if we take care of the family unit, a lot of the issues that we deal with here and in our local communities, they'll be worked out a lot better and a lot easier. They'll be rectified if we just take care of our family units.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm hearing a lot is with the schools, of course, Parents don't have as much say. They're being pushed out. They're not talked about highly. Well, the big thing right now is teachers are they're the professionals. They're the ones that our children are confiding in, which is that's good. You know, I had some teachers that I thought were just, you know, up on a pedestal. That's great. They're great people. It's a very one of our most noble professions. But there are a few, not many, a few enough, too many, that are taking it upon themselves to be those social warriors to talk to our kids about things they really shouldn't be talking about, and not pushing that back to the parents who should be having those discussions. When I say that, I'm talking about social transitioning, the pronouns, aiding them in where to go for various things, whether it can be anything from for the girls, binding to the boys, getting their ears pierced, things of that nature. And that's something the parents should be having those discussion with those kids, not the teachers. So the bill I proposed is that if a teacher or counselor in their professional capacity assist and help a child in social transitioning, they have gone too far. They can be prosecuted, and if they are convicted, they can end up on the sex offenders list, because that is discussing things with kids that they should not be talking about.
My wife, she was a school teacher for 30 years. And one of the things that she takes pride in, and I do too, is that she said for 30 years, not one of her students knew anything about her personal life as far as they didn't know where she stood politically. They didn't know. None of that came into the classroom, because that had nothing to do with being a school teacher. And like you said, you now have a handful, and there are a lot of great teachers are still out there, as you mentioned. In fact, a lot of her friends that I know are still teachers, and they're great teachers. But you're right. You have some teachers out there with the agenda for the social change that's a lot of times just pure evil. And now you're doing these things to children that are just horrible. And I agree with you. That is not their position. That is not their place. And I applaud you for standing up to it.
Last year we tackled the medical side of things, the surgeries, the hormone replacements, the hormone killers, all that stuff was tackled, and we got that through. We did a great job of getting those through, as well as tackling the boys and girls locker rooms. We got that signed by the governor, so that's fantastic. I think this is just another capstone that we need to have in that will help us push back against that agenda, that social warrior mentality. Just last week, I was in our education committee. We were presenting a bill, and it was Representative Ben Baker presented the Parents' Bill of Rights, because it's sad that we've got to present those things. It really is, but it was presenting that the parents have these set of rights, these things that they should be able to be a part of and know and do. We had people coming up and testifying in opposition to this bill. And one of the people that came up to testify was a young male that by dress and responses was a trans female, I guess, then. A male that wants to be a female.
Yeah, okay.
Forgive me for being confused there. It's a confusing thing, and testified against it. They're a sophomore or junior at an NU, and they think that in their educational process, this is what they're learning, this is what they're being taught, that parents are not the professionals. Parents don't know what their kids are going through. Parents don't understand. Parents need teachers to be that best friend for their child. Yeah, so that they can help them along with new and open their minds to other things that the parents may be against. These are our future teachers.
It's ludicrous. I mean, and then you go back even you had parents a couple of years ago that if they were asking questions at a PTA meeting, they were being, you know, labeled as domestic terrorist or something like that. I mean, the extremity of it is just is unfathomable. And the thing, why it's not only is this an overstep, an overreach by any educator? I mean, what is the objective of this? I mean, where is this coming from? I mean, and the bottom line also, you're trying to exclude parents, but I'm sorry, but these teachers work for us. I mean, it's the tax dollars that are paying their salaries, and they work for us, and they'll answer to us. And the school board, I mean, you know, that should be, I mean, hopefully representative of the parents' wants. I mean, where does somebody, you know, get the idea that they can even do this?
You know, and I rack my brain trying to think of the reasons behind it. What's the end game? What is our goal? The only thing I can come up with is we all can agree that we have a mental health issue. We really do.
Yes.
And I think what it comes down to is you have people that have the mental illness. They have this issue. And in order for them to rationalize it as something that is acceptable because they choose not to go against it, they want it to become the new normal. They want to normalize it. They push it down. And if they can get other people on board, well, then it makes them feel that much better. And if there's something that you've got to normalize, that means it's not normal.
Right.
And so we need to push back on that. And how do you do that? You know, and nowhere in my bill or any of my discussions have I pushed back on any demographic. This is not against the LGBTQ, ABC, whatever. It's not against teachers. It's not against, you know, I've not mentioned that. I'm saying this is the thing we need to do because our kids need to be going to the parents. And if you say parents just don't understand me, well, then that's a different problem. We need to get that connected. Okay. Teachers are not trained in mental illnesses and mental issues. They need to push that back on mom and dad. And if mom and dad need to work with their child to find help, then let them get outside help. This is a parents and a child issue. That's it.
This bill obviously sounds like common sense. It's logical. I mean, I don't know what stage it's in, but have you met any opposition?
You know, the opposition, of course, has come in the form of phone calls, emails, text, social media, of course. Here in the building, the large majority of the legislators I talk to are like, well, that's a no-brainer. That sounds like common sense.
Sure.
But convincing the folks that actually have the control and the power to move it through, that's a totally different story. You know, they're looking out for other angles, whether it's personal or political or whatever, I don't know. But I don't think it will go anywhere this year. It was filed the second to last day of filing. I just filed it last Thursday. So, mm-hmm. Or last Thursday being the last day of February. So will it go to committee? I can probably get it to committee. Will it get voted out? That's where the question marks start to come in. If we were to get it out of committee, would it go to floor? Would it be picked up? Would it be discussed on the floor? Would it pass the floor? Once it gets to the other side of the building, I know that's where the roadblocks will really happen. But
well, can you get support? Can you get support from your constituents and others? I mean, I don't know if there's a petition or something like that. But I think if you get enough people on board, I mean, that's certainly going to give it traction.
Yes, I've gotten a lot of support statewide, actually nationwide. Uh-huh. I've got people that have reached out to me. Of course, not as much as the loud opposition. Of course, you know they're very loud and they come out in numbers. But I've even had school board members call me up and tell me, you know, we've got this many cases just in our school board, our school district alone, that this bill would have helped us with. But we're fighting these right now. So if I've got school boards that are telling me, school board members are telling me that will come up and testify in favor of this bill, that's where the buck stops when it comes to the blame game. School board, administrators, teachers, and again, let me make sure I'm getting this out there. I don't have the right percentages, but I'm going to throw it out there. 98 to 99% of our teachers are probably doing the best job that they can possibly do.
Oh,
they're doing
I agree.
A bang up job.
Yeah.
Kids are being taught. Kids are learning. Teachers are loving their kids. They're not overstepping that bounds. This is not them that I'm referring to. This is going to be that one to maybe tops 2% that have gone too far.
Sure.
So, yeah. Just want to make sure that is out there, then people do realize that, you know, we're not attacking teachers because, of course, that's I'm being told I am. And then, of course, they're telling me that all I want to do is see this demographic commit suicide. But because by letting them pick up their pronouns or dress the way they want to, you know, if I don't let them do that, then they're just going to kill themselves. Well, that's a totally separate issue. By letting them have the delusion, that's enabling, that's feeding into the delusion. So with all that, I come back to what your question. Yes, there is support. We can rally. We can get those. Anybody out there listening, call the leadership here in the building. And this bill is only filed in the House, so call the House leadership. Call your state representative. And let them know of your support by all means. Yes, I've seen some really weird things in the last 2 years I've been here, and I would love to be pleasantly surprised with this thing getting pushed through. I would love that. It needs to happen. You know, this demographic that everyone is referring to is only, what do they say, 1.4% of the population.
Right. Yeah.
But if we don't head this off now with the mental illness issue that we've got, with the kids that need more attention in some areas than others, that percentage can grow, and that's going to, and it's going to increase the pushback that's going to be necessary.
Yeah, and I heard on another somewhere else. It's like some kid like eating disorders and stuff used to be a huge thing way back. And so, like, you got a kid with like anorexia or something like that, and you're the teacher saying, "Oh, okay, well, yeah, you really are fat. You really do need to lose more weight." And what? Then the kid dies. So this is like really, I mean, it's the same kind of situation. So you get some kid that's going through a mental illness, and you're saying, "Oh, okay, I go along with that. You're right. You do need to do this." And then what's going to happen? I mean,
right.
It bewilders me. But on a good note, as you've said now a couple of times, it's a very small percentage. And I know a lot of teachers, a lot of administrators that they think it's as crazy as anybody. And so, yeah, the teachers, it's a couple of bad apples. So, well, my friend, it's always a joy having you on. Since we last spoke, I've had several orders of cashew chicken. And I got to tell you, you were right. You were right. So I'm going to tip my hat to you on that one. So cashew chicken.
All right. Well, that's another one. We'll see if we can get pushed through as well then.
You got it, my friend. Well, thank you for joining us. We look forward to the next time, okay?
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jamie's great. And he didn't blow us off, Joey. I mean, he was ready. He was ready 5 minutes early. He was ready to talk. And I appreciate that. I mean, because people would say, well, you're not that important. Well, you know what? You're special, I'm special, and gosh darn it, we are special. So, I mean, you know, come on, answer the phone. Now, Jamie, what do you think of that? Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts?
At the beginning, you brought up our nemesis.
Yes.
Gretchen Bangert, and he acted like he didn't even know her. So it sounds like she doesn't get along with anyone there at the Capitol.
Well, she's too busy making these Lunchables for everybody, and she's not answering our I'm getting flummoxed amongst it.
We're going to send her a bill for all this advertising. No such thing as bad publicity,
there
but no one
no
knew Gretchen
thing.
Bangert's name until she was a featured extra on the Right Mind show.
That's right. That's right. A featured extra. And speaking of featured
extra. No speaking
extra,
role.
Yeah, that's right. I just don't want her to be a 911 operator because, like, nobody would, you know, she wouldn't answer the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, making lunch.
Sorry. Lunchables. On the line now, I got to tell you, Joey, what happened, okay? I'm sitting with my wife, you know, doing that Wordle thing every morning, okay? And we have a birthday party coming up this weekend, and so I was looking for, it was for a grandfather. So I go on Amazon, right, and I look, and I'm looking for, like, grandpa gifts, okay? And this game pops up. I literally, it's called the Dead Grandma's Game. I was laughing. It takes a lot to make me laugh, right? I was laughing so hard, I was crying. And then my wife, she thought I was having a heart attack or something. And so then I turn on the video, and they have a video. Now I'm laughing even harder. I think this is the greatest thing. I think I'm going to buy about 500 of these things and just give them to everybody. You're not going to believe it. On the line right now, though, is one of the creators of the game, Nate Vance. How's it going, my friend? Thank you for joining. You're a genius.
Oh, no, definitely not a genius. I'm just excited to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this game. You tell us about the game.
Yeah, the premise of the game is essentially you and all the other players, a.k.a., you know, your family members, are inheriting your grandma's things, and you're all bidding, and you're competing to try and, collect all of her most prized possessions. All the things that, you know, typical grannies have, from the porcelain set to the creepy china, just all the funny things that all typical grannies have. And the goal is to collect, a certain set of possessions to become the favorite grandchild. But like you mentioned, there's tons of other aspects as far as like you can become the family disappointment, or there's just lots of plays on just the funny family dynamics that I think everyone doesn't want to admit is in their family a little bit.
Oh, so. Yeah, sure. Well, you know, and it's so real. I mean, because there are, I actually know within the last couple of years, a family, and they're going through, I'm thinking of getting them this game. I mean, they're in court now, like suing each other and everything. I'm just like, you know, hey, you guys got to chill and buy Nate's game. It is hysterical. And the video, have you put that bit, because you had a short video showing how it works and everything, mm-hmm. and how to play. Have you done anything else with that? Because I tell you what, if you put that on social media, that thing should explode, because I got to tell you, I was crying. I was laughing so hard this morning.
We did post that video two times on social media, and each time, I think the first time we posted it, it got like 2 point something million views, and the next time it got, you know, well over a million views again. And so it was, it bounced around a lot, and it's funny that you say that, you know, a lot of people going through this, because the comments on the video were all over the place. There's some people who, like, you thought it was hilarious, and then there's some people who we had so many comments that were saying, this isn't funny, we're going through this exact same thing right now. And it's so it is, I think the thing that resonates with people is the fact that it's something that almost everyone goes through at some point, which is why I think it went viral, you know, two times in a row. Is I think it kind of strikes the nerve at some people.
Well, yeah, and that's how you know it's funny. If you're offending people, I always say that's how. Okay, now I've really struck a nerve. I'm a political cartoonist, and most of the stuff that I get, the insults and the angry people, that's how I know if it's a good cartoon. Well, you should do like a co-promotion with like funeral homes or something. That would be great, wouldn't it?
that's the kind of ideas that we need.
That's
genius.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what Joey here. Joey, what, do you have anything to say about? Because my buddy here, Joey, the producer and my sidekick, he's like the marketing genius of the show. What do you think of this whole thing, Joey?
I'm blown away by your Kickstarter, Nate. And it was funded in 3 hours, it says. You only asked for $3,000, and it looked like you made 10 times that in pre-orders.
Yeah.
So I'm so proud of you guys. Usually Kickstarters are a lot harder, but you guys have such a great idea that this thing is just kind of selling itself once people get a hold of it.
That was really what we were hoping for. And the TikTok video that we posted really kind of blew up our Kickstarter. I think that we were around, we'd made about 10 or 12,000, and we posted that Kickstarter, and then all of a sudden in the next, you know, couple of weeks, we're just pulling in, you know, order after order. And so, the Kickstarter was, we were very pleased with how the Kickstarter went.
We have a local card board game company in town, and they created a silly game about making wieners. Turn for the worst. You make a hot dog. And randomly, Jeopardy wrote a question about them, and now they're world famous. So if you could, just get on Jeopardy. That's my advice for you. It's like when Todd's wife says we should have The Rock on the show.
You guys should be able to pull some strings for it.
Oh, yeah, we can, because we're big here. I don't know if you know it. We're the biggest show in St. Louis at 5 o'clock on this radio station. Yeah,
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
Well, now, what made you, okay, so you, as far as coming out, did you write the rules and how this all works? Or, I mean, did you have this all planned out? I mean, because you've got, I mean, you have artwork and cartoon characters and stuff like that. What was your process? I mean, what was it that really said, we got to do this?
Interestingly enough, so I did it with a partner, and his cousin had actually created another card game. So that was originally where we got the idea from. And I think our process might have been a little bit backwards. We actually made the mechanics of the game first, and then we're thinking of, okay, with how this game works, what would be kind of a theme that fits it? And just the nature of the game as far as like bidding and competing for things, the low-hanging fruit would be like, oh, well, you got to think of, you know, very valuable items that people want. But then our thought was, what if you kind of flip that on its head and you're competing over just these worthless kind of pieces of junk. It might be kind of a funny take on it. And when we kind of made that twist, the first thing that popped into my mind, just like visually, I just went back to my grandma's house almost immediately. A lot of the items from the card game itself were pulled directly from my grandparents' house. There's the fuzzy or the fluffy carpet toilet seat cover, the pink one, and that one is directly from my grandparents' house. That one was there before I was born. I don't know how old it was. And so once we kind of narrowed it down to the theme of the game, I think coming up with the ideas was relatively easy because they're all things that people have seen in their grandparents' house. There's some that are a little more off the wall than others, but for the most part, I think all of them are pretty relatable. So it was a little bit more of a backwards process coming to the theme of the game, but I think once we realized what we were shooting for, it all just kind of fell into place, and it was very natural, and we thought it turned out pretty good. And our artist, neither my partner and I are artists by any stretch, but we actually grew up, this girl that went to our school in high school, she's a phenomenal artist. And so we reached out to her, and she immediately loved the idea, and she's like, let's do it. So she was all on. She did a phenomenal job, and we're very happy with it.
Oh,
how it turned out.
It's really great. I mean, and it's just the packaging, the cards, and everything. And I'm not kidding you. As soon as I get off the air later today, you're gonna get an order from me. I promise you that, if not two, because it's hysterical. And besides me, again, I saw it on Amazon, and I just put in a dead grandma game. Say the actual name again. How's it? The dead grandma?
Yeah, it's called Dead Grandma Game. A Game of Inheritance is kind of the full title, but Dead Grandma for sure.
Okay, and if they're not on it, do you have your own website where people can go to, and they can order directly?
We are exclusively on Amazon.
Okay, okay.
We let Amazon handle all of the shipping for us, and so it's nice in that way because you can order it and you can get it basically within 1 to 2 days, depending on where
you're
at.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, we basically sell exclusively on Amazon.
Gotcha.
Currently.
Well, that's how I found it, and I tell you, I wasn't even looking for it. And I tell you what, it just popped right up, and made my day. I mean, my wife was like, "Shut up, stop laughing so hard." I got it, and I have sent that video. I've sent it to my brother. I've sent it to like friends. And this is just this morning. So I mean, I'm going to be sending it. It's just wonderful. But you have my kind of humor. Yeah, and Joey, and I'll be spreading the word for you, my friend. And again, the Dead Grandma game, which is Nate Vance on the line here. He's one of the creators, obviously a very clever and creative guy. And so if you need a gift for something you like or something you don't like, go get it, because it's a heck of a game, and it certainly made me laugh. Well, thanks for joining us, Nate, and I hope you'll come back and tell us how things are going soon.
Oh, I'd love to hop on again. I appreciate you having me there.
All right. That's Nate Vance with the Dead Grandma game. And I tell you what, I mean, it made me – I haven't laughed that hard in my life.
We could be talking to the next Milton /Bradley.
It could be a Milton – but they don't have the Dead Grandma game. I mean, that's something –
like Parcheesi or something. Yeah, choking hazards, really, is what they make over there in Milton Bradley.
Yeah, I guess you could have done, like, Battleship with the Dead Grandpa game for, like, World War II, but that's really offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good. Anyway, in the meantime, we'll see you next time. And remember what I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. This is the Right Mind Show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.